Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about the illness of not that long ago, where they took the day off kind of out of nowhere. Courts out, then it started, the rumor started rumbling and people had their opinions of, well, what's going on? And then we officially did hear. It was Karen. She wasn't feeling well. Allergies, apparently, the reason for canceling court that day. Even her own dad, who her own dad really might want to just muzzle it for a little bit because he seems to be not helping Karen in many ways. Saying, yeah, you know, she's feeling better now. She was, you know, she was just exhausted. I'm paraphrasing here. And I get it. Of course, you're going to be exhausted. This has got to be insanely emotionally taxing for anyone who is on the stand, innocent or guilty. But to completely call off court because of allergies? I mean, they drug Michael Jackson into court in his pajamas one day because he was feeling down. Karen Reed is not Michael Jackson. Why? How? What was going on behind the scenes here that you got Bev to agree and you got the defense and the prosecution to agree? Because you need all three to say court's going to be done for the day. What, in your opinion, happened here to allow that to take place?
You know, this was a pretty permissive allowance that the judge gave Karen Reed to miss trial due to allergies. You know, I've had cases where the defendant or a witness is pregnant and they ain't feeling so great. We look at the Diddy case, Cassie Ventura, yeah. The lead victim has been on the stand. I think she's on her third day now, you know, 8 months pregnant or so. I've had cases where folks have cancer and they have to come into court and take care of business. Those same, you know, it seems like Karen Reed wasn't held to those same standards when she had some purported allergy issues and missed court.
Allergies are an interesting term. Some people can be allergic to alcohol. I know that is a thing. Just say, I'm not saying, but I'm saying. Without saying.
Or future jail. Who knows?
Or future jail. Exactly. You know, the allergic to not wearing the $1,700 pantsuits, which, you know, I hear, you know, orange is the new $1,700 pantsuit. I really feel that is bizarre. I don't want to go too far down the road of speculation because so much of this stuff is just out there on the internet. But it was people within her own camp that were posting, and these are the FKR folks who are very, you know, say one word negative about Karen Reed and, you know, they want to take away your life. These are the folks. Some of them were saying, hey, we saw her out the other night. Hey, we saw her drinking martinis. We saw a lot of people allegedly saw this. I can't confirm it. I'm just going off of what some of her supporters have said. Kind of a bad look. And I mean, at this point, you know, if the judge did find out, if there was confirmation, if somebody snapped a photo of Karen out the night before pounding back some cocktails, is that anything that the judge would have any sort of opinion on at this point? Or is it just, you know, she's back in court, let's keep moving, we did take the day off?
You know, I'm not privy to every court order that's been issued in this case, and I think some of them have not been made public, but it would be standard for the judge to have an order saying the defendant, while the case is pending, cannot drink alcohol at all. This is alleged to be a vehicular homicide where she was drunk and ran somebody over.
Let's add that to the mix.
Yeah. So I would be, if the judge found out about it and there was such an order, and if that did happen, I think Karen could be in hot water. Sometimes it even can result in having a bond revoked.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very interesting. And I mean, just for the sake of this, maybe not presenting as someone with a problem with alcohol might not be the best thing to do actively while you are on trial. Maybe, you know, and the other excuse was, oh, she's so tired and so exhausted. Yeah, you know what? Good night's sleep. Get to bed. I know you got to stay up a bit every day and they got a plan for the next day, but maybe not doing it, you know, at the margarita bar is a better, you know, maybe do it in your office, do it somewhere. No, but yeah, I know it's obvious stuff, but apparently it eludes some. And her attorneys, they seem to be going along with this. People are seeing them out together, you know, throwing this stuff back allegedly. What the hell are they thinking? I mean, they're doing this in the damn town where she's being tried, where, you know, image is pretty important. People are going to talk. The jurors are not supposed to look at anything when they go home. Of course they're not. But do they all know? So to have this stuff out there, what are they thinking? What is going on in the mind of the people who are supposed to be keeping her corralled so she doesn't continue to incriminate herself?
It seems like a risk and an unnecessary one on behalf of the entire defense team.
Yeah.
You know, especially considering the sensitive issues in this case of alcohol and a vehicle, and now somebody's dead, and the national spotlight is on these folks, and people are watching them. You know, I can't help but wonder, and this is just speculation, but if the defense team themselves have sort of got caught up in the Hollywood publicity of this thing, and they're out on the town, and they're big shots now in their minds, and they are big shots.
They are actually.
But, I can't help but wonder if that's going on and could be influencing some of the choices they make.
I wonder. I mean, everybody's human, and you know, I guess sometimes it takes the best of you when, and you don't even know it, because you're kind of wrapped up in that bubble, and that certainly is a bubble that surrounds Karen Reed of the echo chamber. Of, you know, complete immunity, no matter what she says, no matter what she did, no matter anything, she's innocent. And that's how they seem to frame it. Another problem in the case is the taillight, and specifically John's hair on the taillight and the little piece of glass that was found inside the taillight itself. I guess we're speculating on if it's glass. I know the expert that was on the other day said, I can't identify if something is glass or not. That's not just part of her purview. It's just can't do that. But they were really strong on that. How could this possibly be that there was this little piece of glass within the taillight after it went about 60 miles in a snowstorm, in a blizzard? How are these things still present on the vehicle itself? And why didn't anybody take pictures of the damn car as soon as they could before having to haul it all of that way, especially the tail light? Let's first start with talking about just the probability of this thing getting through a snowstorm and there still being a hair on it and there being a little piece of glass in the tail light. Sounds kind of crazy. It sounds kind of extreme. It sounds kind of improbable, but I want to ask anybody this, and I'm going to ask you this too. Have you ever put anything like on the back of your vehicle or if you have a truck, a bed or something, and you travel with it? And have you ever been surprised just how well intact it is by the time you get to where you're going? The back of a vehicle does not get the same wind resistance that the rest of the vehicle does. Granted, I know we're talking about a snowstorm here, but I think a little testing there could go a long way and people might be surprised with what they find. What are your thoughts?
Thoughts are, the evidence raises some questions in that respect. You know, one is, if Karen Reed backed into John O'Keefe with her vehicle and it caused damage to the taillight, how would his hair, like think about like the levels of where a person's head would be if they were standing, and then the level of where a taillight would be, it doesn't align with how tall John O'Keefe is. And so how did that hair get in there? And I think the way the defense is going to construe this is, this is a perfect, neat little package of a bunch of incriminating evidence they put all together at one and said, here, look, she must have hit him. And defense is going to say, hey, they did that on purpose and they planted that. And that's a conspiracy.
That's to assume that everyone walks completely upright at all times, even after being hit by a vehicle. Sure. And you're getting back up. Or you're drunk, and maybe you slip. Maybe you tie your shoe. Maybe you're doing something back there that puts you at that level. I mean, it's not insane to think, okay, he goes down, he's getting back up. Here, you're at taillight level. Boom. Not, you know, completely impossible to think about that maybe that's what was going on. I don't think that
not at all. Yeah. And you know, defense is going to have their take on it. And then the prosecution, especially on redirect and possibly the rebuttal case, is going to try to explain all of these specters of questions and concerns that defense raised. And that would be a really compelling way to explain it, is that, like, hey, it wasn't necessarily just him standing upright the whole time. There could have been different posturing and movements.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be an interesting one. And then you got the glass, that as well being a question. I mean, it's been speculated for a while, like, did the glass, you know, did he throw it at the vehicle? Did the impact with the glass in his hand, was that part of the impact on him? Then you got the ARCA folks that are going to say that, well, this isn't exactly consistent with a vehicle strike. But exactly how are we measuring that, I guess, is the question. I mean, yes, if he was standing there perfectly in this one place, it doesn't look like it's a vehicle strike. Are they taking into account all the other possible poses this man was very likely in and getting struck by a vehicle?
Well, what I can tell you, so I do criminal defense, but I also do some personal injury work. And accident reconstruction is a big deal in personal injury. And you'd be surprised how in nearly every big case that's litigated, the plaintiff has an accident reconstructionist that says, oh, the accident must have happened this way. And the defense accident reconstructionist says, no, it must have happened this other way. And they cite to their analyses, and they cite to scientific principles and physics and biomechanical engineering and everything else, and they reach completely opposite conclusions. And so, you know, to take only one accident reconstruction analysis as gospel would be foolhardy.
So you're saying accident reconstruction is not exactly an absolute science?
It is not, and it's a science from which different experts can reach completely different conclusions based on how they're seeing.
Is that a science then, or is that more of opinion?
What is a science? You know, well, it's hard to say. Is fingerprint analysis a science, or is that somebody looking at some ridges and saying, hey, these ones look, you know, I'm eyeballing it, they appear to match up? I think that question could be raised as to a number of expert testimony subject matters.
Yeah.
But certainly not an absolute hard science.
Yeah.
in that sense.
I mean, to this day, people are still coming up with new analyses on how the Titanic sank. And we're talking, you know, 100 some years later. We think it broke up this way, according to new science. Okay. So, I mean, this really could be something that could be argued forever. And you could easily have one side coming in saying, okay, this is how we see it. This is how we see it. And like you just said, then it's left to the jury. Is the jury any better off by having the accident reconstructionist even come in if both are going to say completely opposite things and they are the experts?
I think the benefit would inure to the defense on that, because you know, what the prosecution wants is they want a you know, defined, coherent, compelling narrative in terms of the version of events, in terms of the evidence of what happened. Defense wants to mix it up. They want to throw in some wrenches here. And when you throw in an expert who says the exact opposite of the of what a different expert says, that's a wrench that they're throwing in. That chaos and confusion can sometimes translate to doubt, can sometimes translate to reasonable doubt.
Yeah, I can very much see that.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.